Can you tell me a little bit about your plans with Sunlight Live and what you'll be doing on Election Day?
Well, funny you should ask. We just had a discussion. Sunlight Live will be live from 7 in the evening until midnight on election night. And our intent, as it has always been with Sunlight Live, is to tell a different kind of story, provide a different kind of coverage. You know, one of our colleagues called it data jamming, and I think that's really what it's about. So what we'll be doing the first hour is we're connecting with PBS for our live video feed on this and partnering with them on that. So as they are providing their, you know, evening news and roundup, which we expect to be sort of what was Election Day like, we'll be live blogging during that section as well to talk about what we're reporting. And then between the hours of 8 and 10, we'll be doing a lot of backgrounding on the races, you know, particularly focusing on following the money to the degree we can, looking specifically at, the big spending that's been unleashed as a result of the Supreme Court decision, Citizens United. Those groups that will be reporting and have been reporting where their money is coming from, and particularly focusing on those who've spent, at least our latest calculation, is $110 million in money that is unreported in terms of its source. So we'll be drilling down in the 10 most competitive House races, the 10 most competitive Senate races, and really examining what money was spent where, and we can tell that even though we don't know the source of it. So that'll occupy most of the hours in between. We'll have a live blog, and we will ask people to sign on. We'll be taking people's questions and providing that kind of background information. And then as the results really start to pour in, we will switch back to the PBS feed and, again, be keying off those announcements. We hope to be able to have the speeches as candidates accept their victories or, you know, go down in defeat and make statements about that. So we'll be covering that and, you know, always focusing on the role that big money played in the election.
And so where do you get the information as far as the money? You're just getting what the campaigns themselves have given?
In terms of the outside money, as we generally, you know, lump it all together, the new money that is being spent, that new corporate money that's being spent through the trade associations or through various nonprofit entities that can now spend the money or through super PACs and just straight-up independent expenditures, that comes from reports filed at the Federal Election Commission by those committees. They are filing those reports on a 24-hour basis now, so that will be absolutely current information as of, you know, the most recent hour. We currently have a tool right now that is called Follow the Unlimited Money, and we've been reporting that for the last month or so, and we update it every hour. It's really quite a remarkable tool.
Wow. And so you can really tally up, like, on, let's say, on election night, you could basically say, you know, this group spent this amount of money, these are the wins that they got, this is where they lost, you know, this is how much more influence they'll have.
That is exactly correct. That is precisely correct. We have a lot of that information now. We're already beginning to, you know, to look at it. I mean, we have a post, actually, that was posted on Thursday of this week that showed that outside groups have not disclosed donors for more than $1 million on each of 14 Senate and 18 House races. So we know exactly where what we call the dark money is going, which races it's going in. It really shows the power of what is the raison d'etre of the Sunlight Foundation, which is disclosure.
Right.
It really is enabling us and journalists and citizens alike to see where this money is going and where might it have an impact. Of course, we, for a large chunk of this money, we have no idea actually where it's coming from. But at least we know how it's being spent and where it's being spent.
Do you have reporters or researchers trying to actually kind of track that money, or that you don't know, that we don't know where they're coming, where it's coming from?
Yes, but it's needless to say, it's very difficult, and so it's more searching for this money where the source of it is not reported is more likely to be uncovered by accident. Than it is by some, methodical search. I mean, if it's not reported, it's simply not reported. So we're really looking, and I think we'll be heavily dependent on, local reporters, who might have a better bead on who might be funding these kinds of entities, might just turn it up locally better than it can be done from a national source. We don't know what we don't know. If it's not reported, it's really hard to unravel that thread.
Right. Do you do outreach to some of those local reporters to see if you can kind of network with them?
I know we have lined up three or four reporters who are going to be live blogging with us. And so, we're in regular touch with, a huge group of reporters that we train. We do lots of training on our various databases on various subjects throughout the year. So we have a fairly large network we can tap into for this.
Yeah. So tell me about the NITE funding that you guys got recently. Where is that targeted, and how will that help with your work?
Well, the recent NITE grant to us is very exciting, in no small part because it also supports our continuing operation and really, to be honest, professionalization of Sunlight Live. So supporting Sunlight Live, building that out into a very stable open-source platform that anyone then can use is part of the NITE grant. So we're very excited that, election night coverage is brought to us, via the Sunlight Foundation, but because the NITE Foundation has really invested in us. And we like the idea very much of creating an open-source platform for that so that, MediaShift could use it whenever it's ready. For example, the other major piece of the funding from the Knight Foundation will go into developing public-facing apps, as we call them. So as the Sunlight Foundation broadens its interest out of just the money and influence data sets and into what we call accountability data sets, that's generally data that allows us as citizens to hold government accountable for what it does, as well as the entities that report to government.
Wow. So what would you imagine one of those accountability-type apps would be like?
Well, the first one we're going to be working on is going to deal with healthcare. And probably the second one that will roll out will have to do with consumer financial protection information. And so we're going to build four or five of those over the next, year plus as we move forward. And we will focus on things and we will solicit, advice, from the community at large as to what kind of apps they want to see. So our idea on healthcare, for example, is to bring together a series of government data sets and put them together in such a way that they would be mobile accessible as well as web accessible, and the kind of things that citizens, really need to know about healthcare, whether that's, I don't know the answer to this. We're still really just beginning to figure it out, whether that's, accountability for, cleanliness of hospitals, doctor ratings, Medicare fraud issues. It's, we have a wealth of data in the health arena, thanks to HHS being very willing to put out all kinds of data sets for us to play with. And the same thing in the consumer financial regulatory thing. So, our first job in building these apps is to survey what data is available, what data would we like to have available. We may have to FOIA for some of this data, get it all in an electronic format, and then figure out how to reassemble it in a way that we think citizens would find it very useful. Then build the platforms both on a web, web basis and a mobile basis.
That makes sense. I know that some cities like San Francisco, New York, have done these kind of open data, have released a lot of their data. Do you feel like that's something that might spread to other cities, or where do you see that right now?
Oh, I think, in many respects that the city open data efforts are really setting the pace for the federal government. I think we thought initially it might be the other way around, but I think we're more stalled in Washington than we are in the cities. And so while, let's think, Seattle, I think, has an open data plan, certainly San Francisco does, I think Boston does, we're beginning to see a flurry of these, and we know that there are a number of these still in the works. You know, all politics, all data is local. And so I think it's very, very powerful to have the cities moving forward there. And we think, in fact, that you know, organizing citizens around the use of this data and the demand for more is much more likely to happen at the city level than it is just sort of broadly at the federal level. And so we're very excited and very bullish about, you know, attention to the cities.
And when you're doing your apps, I can see how people would want to get information locally, you know, as they're, you know, moving through their life and doing things. Would there also be a platform for them to report things that they see or to kind of add to the database or somehow basically generate reports from them?
I think that's a terrific suggestion, and I will certainly pass it along to the team. I'm not sure that we're far enough along at this point to have, you know, made a definitive judgment about that. You know, but Sunlight operates very much in this, you know, collaborative, you know, technology is, you know, a collaborative device. And so that kind of thing makes a lot of sense, you know, because the data, we know anything about government data, it's usually messy and often dirty. So even though we may be using the purest form of data, there may be errors in it, and we certainly would need room for people to, you know, give us the what's it really like on the ground, you know, what's it really like, you know, whether the data is accurate, and to be able to add to the database. I certainly think that fits our DNA perfectly.